Tráigame agua, porfa. Agua fría. Oh, let's see. How can I do this? Do this right. Yeah. Yeah. Just to wind things down so that people aren't. I don't want you to be confused. Oh, well, that I'm not adding to that. This is just like a summary. Yeah, to see if I can get to 39.
You're gonna try to.
No. Why would I do that?
It was a joke. Smile.
I know. You can throw it away if you don't like it. No, we're not going through all this. No way. This I'm just giving to you to have for your own reference. That's all. I'm not going to go through it. We'll go through some of it, but not all of it. Nope. Let's get some more ready for the other. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Ask the Lord to be here. Good to be back from our whirlwind trip. It's on, yeah. Trust you had fun Sunday. All right. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Leah, would you open in prayer, please?
Gracious Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come into your house and study your word.
Thank you, Lord.
Pray, O Lord, that you will just anoint our Bible study this evening. Lord, help us to be good listeners, be our pastor as he delivers, Lord. We pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit will be
Jesus' name.
Here as always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. All right. I gave you a chart of the tribulation period. I want to touch on it because I promised to. I did some research this week and a lot more today. Got a real good friend that wrote a book on the views of the tribulation period, and I bought it and read most of it today, and something was real curious, because she spent the entire book trying to do away with a pre-trib rapture and emphasize a mid-trib rapture, and never, ever, ever mentioned the 24 elders. And I thought to myself, this is very interesting, because growing up, Sister Firth wouldn't talk about the 24 elders. We listened to some videos about the rapture at the beginning of this study, and they never talked about the 24 elders. The only one the only people that talk about the 24 elders are those of us that believe in a pre-trib rapture. Evidently, it causes all kinds of trouble for post-trib and post-millennial and mid-trib. So we'll talk about them in a bit, but I want to just touch on the tribulation period so that we understand how wonderful these 7 years are going to be. Something you would aspire to be in, right? I want to talk about the references in the Old Testament. There's several verses. I didn't print these out for you. I should have. But one of the principal ones is Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, where it talks about a time of Jacob's trouble. So it's identifying the 7-year period as a time when God deals with the Jews. He doesn't deal with the Gentiles. He's dealing with the Jews because Jacob is always the Jews. Amen? In fact, what was Jacob's name changed to?
Israel.
Israel. In Daniel 9:27, it's the 70th week of Daniel. Remember, Daniel starts his prophecy talking about the 69 weeks of Jewish history. And then there's a parenthesis of several thousand years, which is the time of the Gentiles, you and I. And then he picks it up again with seven last years, and that is the 70th week of Daniel. Daniel is the chronographer?
Chronologically.
Yeah, no, I want the noun. The chronographer, something like that. Chronographer? He's the one that sets the time frame. He's the one that gives us the days. He's the one that gives us the calendar. And then Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 21, Isaiah calls it Jehovah's strange work. Isaiah 28, 21 also calls it Jehovah's strange act. Deuteronomy 32, 35 calls it the day of Israel's calamity. So Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Moses calls it in Deuteronomy the day of Israel's calamity. Also, Moses calls it in Deuteronomy 4:30, the tribulation, the tribulation. And then Isaiah 26, verse 20, and Daniel 11:36, it's called the indignation. The indignation. God's upset. The Isaiah 28 calls it the overflowing scourge. In 34:8, he calls it the day of vengeance. In 34:8 also, he calls it the year of recompense. Daniel 12:1 and Zephaniah 1:15, the time of trouble. Zephaniah 1:15, the day of wrath. Zephaniah 1:15, the day of distress, the day of wasteness, the day of desolation, and the day of darkness. So Zephaniah has quite a description of the tribulation period. He also calls it the day of gloominess, the day of clouds, the day of thick darkness, and then in verse 16, the day of the trumpet and the day of alarm. Now in the New Testament, it's got several names. I did not have a clue how many times it was mentioned. But that's a lot of times. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the day of the Lord. Revelation 14:10, the day of wrath of God. Wrath of God. Revelation 3:10, the hour of trial. Revelation 6:16, the great day of wrath of the Lamb of God. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, the wrath to come. It's interesting that people will say that only the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period is the time of wrath. Yet in Revelation chapter 6, which is long before the last 3.5 years, he calls it the wrath to come. He calls it the day of great wrath of the Lamb of God, identifies it. The great day of the wrath of the Lamb of God. That's in Revelation chapter 6, 16 and 17. So before the middle of the tribulation period, it's already called the day of wrath. For those that want to make a distinction. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:9, the wrath. And that's also in Revelation 11, the wrath. And the great tribulation, Matthew 24:21. Revelation 2:22, the great tribulation, Matthew 24:29, the tribulation, the hour of judgment, Matthew 14:7. Now, I want to touch on them. I gave you a chart there that looks like this to help us distinguish them. It's this one. Okay. And he starts out right at the beginning. He starts out talking about what's going to happen.
Huh?
Yes. Yes. You've got it right. Did I not give it to you, Leah?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, he starts out with a book. A sealed book. And Daniel has a problem. John has a problem with it, right? Because in heaven, no one's found worthy to open that book. This is after the church has been raptured. He says, I was in the spirit, behold, a throne in heaven set, one that sat on the throne, and he gives us his description. He deals with the 24 elders and the seven spirits. This all is happening in heaven after John gets there, right? So if the church isn't there, and if the redeemed are not there, then who are the 24 elders? Because they're obviously there before the tribulation period starts. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And this is what the rest of the book of Revelation actually is going to be like. And a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And he began to open it. He began to open it. Now, it's interesting what happens when he opens it, right? The first seal is in chapter 6. The Lamb opened the book, and I heard the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And behold, a white horse, he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist. He is revealed at the beginning of the tribulation period. Do you know that there are some people that think that the Antichrist won't have anything to do with the tribulation period till the midway point? And so those same people kind of ignore the opening of the first seal. Let's just ignore it. He went forth to conquer. Now what happens when you conquer? And when you go forth to conquer? You get seal number two. Okay? What's seal number two? Another horse. What's the color of the horse? Red. Power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that he should kill one another, and it was given to him a great sword. What does that talk about? War. Conquering. Now we know that the Antichrist will strive to set up a one world government. Now, there is nowhere in the Word of God, nowhere, that I have found, and I have looked and looked and looked even more recently, where there's any indication that this will be a worldwide one world government. We don't know. We do know that it will include the revived Roman Empire, which of course includes Israel. Okay? But we don't know about the other nations. The other nations aren't mentioned, except there is a indication that there's going to be nations from the north that are going to join with the Antichrist to fight in the Battle of Armageddon. But there's no identity. It doesn't come right out and say this nation and that nation and that nation. Not like it does the revived Roman Empire. Because we know where the boundaries were of that empire. The rest we don't know. Okay? So the Antichrist will have to consolidate power, because there are many people today that won't give up power easily. Could you? Iraq was part of that, and Iran. Could you see them giving up power to somebody that's not Muslim? No. I mean, they're trying to conquer those that are not Muslim now. So they don't want that now. But then it's going to be different. Then you have the third seals opened up. And what color is that horse?
Black.
And what does that stand for?
Famine.
A measure of barley for a penny. See that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Wow. That is a bread. Measure and weight signifies the scarcity of food. It will be sold, a loaf of bread, for the daily wage. So much for the United States wanting to, all these people that want to raise the minimum wage. What is it now? I don't even know.
Well, in New York it's
15. 15? So you work 15, 8 hours? What's that, $90? Can you believe in a loaf of bread costing $90? Almost like a dozen eggs. Right? So there'll be famine, and then the fourth seal gets opened up. And what do we have there?
Pale horse.
Huh? A pale horse, right? And what happens?
Death.
1/4 of the world's population, 1/4 of the part of the earth. Now we do know this will touch everybody, because the famine's going to touch everybody. See, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. So 1/4 of the world's population dies. What's the population today? 8 billion? 2 billion die. Will someone call up Bill Gates and tell him there's not going to be any problem with overpopulation during the tribulation period?
Are there going to be vaccines?
Huh? Well, it doesn't say he'll kill with a vaccine. He says it kills with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the field. Okay? Then the fifth seal gets opened up. What happens when the fifth seal is opened up?
Souls of the altar.
Huh?
Souls of the altar.
Yep. Yep. So, if I don't believe in a pre-trib rapture, then I've got to believe in multiple raptures. Right? Because the souls under the altar, they're slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And we know where they were slain out of, because they say, how long will you not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And they're told to wait. Why?
There's more to come.
Until the rest are killed. He says, your fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So, if the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, then we have a rapture happening here.
Well, if they were killed, they weren't raptured, they were resurrected. And that's different.
Correct, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, they're not, those that are alive don't just go up, but those that are dead are resurrected as well. See? So it's a real stretch if we say that this is going to be different from the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 5, or different from the rapture. Remember, the word rapture is a funny word to use. Let's just say they get from the earth to heaven somehow. Right? They get from earth to heaven somehow. Like those that were resurrected when Jesus resurrected. Right? The graves were opened. And they came out. Okay? So, they're going to go up into heaven. We know now, when we die, the bodies don't go up. Right now. Right? The flesh stays here. And yet they're recognized. There's the souls of them that are slain for the word of God. They're there and they have to wait. So I guess those that believe in something other than a pre-trib rapture believe that these are resurrected and not raptured. I don't know what the difference is between a resurrection and a rapture. I get from there, from here to there, supernaturally. Pretty cool. Okay? Then the sixth seal is opened up. What happens in the sixth seal? There's a great earthquake. The sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon becomes as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken in the wind. Isn't that nice? So we have earthquakes. Anybody here ever been through an earthquake? They're fun, aren't they? There's no place, it's the most helpless feeling you'd ever want to feel in your life. Because there's no place you can go. No place you can go. Here, I gave you also the seal judgments, the bowl judgments, and the trumpet judgments today. Okay? You can see those there as well. Okay? The six things happen when the sixth seal is opened up. There's a great earthquake. The sun is blacked out. The moon becomes like blood. Number four, stars fall to the earth. Number five, the sky tears apart like a scroll. And number six, islands and mountains are moved out of their place. Now, what happens to those that are here alive on earth? Anybody remember? They further rebel. And they run to the mountains and they ask them to fall on them and hide them from he that sits on the throne. I don't know if they're just imagining where God is or they can actually see where God is. Going to be interesting. I don't know. Okay, and then the seventh seal is opened up in Revelation 8:1. And that is the introduction of the seven trumpet judgments. Seven trumpet judgments. And I've got those here too. Trumpet judgment. Number one is what? What? Hail and fire. Yeah, mingled with blood. Isn't that going to be fun? How many want to be here? Well, there's those that say we are going to be here. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because those that believe in the mid-trib rapture think it's going to be somewhere around Revelation 11. So we're here for these. It's not going to be fun. Not going to be fun at all. These are administered by special angels. Okay? Hail, fire mixed with blood thrown down on the earth, and one third of the earth is burned up. One third of the trees are burned up. And one third of all the green grass is burned up. If they think climate change is a problem now, wait till there's one third less trees to process carbon dioxide and one third less grass, and think of what a steak is going to cost.
I don't think they're going to be worried about eating steak at this point.
You don't think so? I don't know. Some people are pretty.
Fruit Loops.
Yeah, but how are you going to grow? We'll find out later on. How are you going to grow anything? This seems to parallel the judgments of Sodom and Gomorrah and the sixth plague in Egypt. So, one third of all grass, going to be nice for those that, not going to be nice for landscapers, going to be nice for those that have to mow their lawn. I mow 5 acres here, so that means I'm going to mow, what, two less than two, one and a half. One will be gone, so we'll have less. It's going to be interesting. The second trumpet sounds in Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 through 9. Something like a great mountain burning with fire is thrown into the sea, and one third of the sea becomes blood. One third of the creatures which are in the sea and have life died, and one third of the ships are destroyed. So, if you have land on the coast, you want to sell it. My cousin has bought a house down in Myrtle Beach. And I told her she had to sell it. And she says, why? Well, the rapture is going to take place. So she says, I'm getting out of here. But maybe somebody else, because your land's going to be worth nothing. What happens when a whale dies? Huh? He doesn't die. He dies, and what happens to him when he dies? No, what happens to him when he dies? He washes up on shore. So you've got one third of all the creatures in the ocean dying. One third of all the creatures in the ocean are dying. When the earthquake happened in Costa Rica, 7.6 on the Richter scale, the coast of Costa Rica rose 1 meter. That's 39 inches, and the coastline of Panama fell 39 inches. An island in the Bay of Sixaola disappeared. It's gone. It's gone forever. And the pools of water that the coral was exposed all down the Atlantic coast of Costa Rica, and that coral, of course, died when the sun hit it, and the pools were full of fish, and those fish died. And a day later, I'm headed out and going down to see what is the damage to our churches. And 1 kilometer before I ever got to Limon, the city, I could smell the stench of dead fish. It was not nice. It was not nice. Made you almost want to vomit. And all going down the coast, because we had to go, the road was gone. So we had to drive along the beach going down the coast where there was road. When we got to the rivers, the bridges were gone. So we had to go out onto the beach, and where the river delta landed in the ocean, these small rivers, you had to ford those and go through and go on down to get to where we had our churches to see what the damage was. It was nasty. This is going to be tough. This is going to be tough. One third of the ocean becomes blood, and one third of all the creatures that have life die, and one third of the ships are destroyed. You think you have supply chain problems now? It's going to be bad news. Then the third trumpet sounds. What happens? Revelation 8, verses 10 and 11. A great star falls from the heavens, burning like a torch. Now, what does that talk to you as? A meteor, right? So a meteor comes flaming on earth and it hits, and one third of the rivers and the springs of water become bitter. Now, when that speaks of bitterness in the Word of God, it speaks of non-potable anymore. Now, it could be an angelic entity, we don't know, that is called Wormwood, because that's the name of this star or this entity or whatever it is. We're not worried about what it is. We're just worried about what happens as a result. What do you think a bottle of water is going to cost? When one third of all the water is gone. You talk about hoarding. How long will it take the stores and Walmart, their water section, to become empty?
Minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's going to touch the wells. It says one third of the springs of water. So I have a feeling it's even going to touch the wells. Okay? And we know that when this happened in the Old Testament, when they came on bitter water, it caused people to die. So we don't know. It doesn't say how many people are going to die here or if any are going to die, but we surmise they probably will. You'll get so thirsty, you're willing to drink it anyway.
They said many men died of the waters.
Yeah, doesn't say how many.
Okay. Many.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens when you're thirsty enough to drink anything?
You drink anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Thirst is a terrible thing to deal with.
So horrible.
Okay. Then the fourth trumpet sounds. Revelation 8. Now this is all happening in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. A third of the sun, moon, and stars will be diminished. Parallels the ninth plague in Exodus 10. Okay, so how long is a day now? How much sun sign do we have? I've got to turn those.
Huh?
Yeah, Joe, will you do me a favor? Will you turn the big light on in the passageway to the attic and the other light switch in the entryway? Yeah, the other one that's right in that little entryway. That one's the first one in the attic there. Yeah. So we're going to have, what happens when you have 1/3 less sunlight?
It's colder.
Huh? What happens to crops?
They don't grow.
You don't grow. So, and your night's going to be 1/3 longer. What's going to happen to crime? I mean, they have 1/3 more darkness to fool around with. Thank you, Joel. This is not going to be good. And this is all during the first 3.5 years. And then we get an angel making an announcement saying, if you think that was bad, you hang on. Huh?
Just hang on.
Yeah, you just hang on.
Even better for you.
So in the ninth chapter, the fifth trumpet sounds. And we've got another star falling to earth from heaven. Now, some people have said, it could be Satan himself. I don't think so. A special angel. But anyway, we know what's in his hands. It's the key to the bottomless pit, which he opens to let loose a great swarm of locusts, demonic locusts. These special creatures are permitted to torture but not kill people for 5 months. The Bible's very clear. Death will flee for 5 months. Can you imagine being so tormented you take a gun, you put it to your head, you pull the trigger, you blow a hole in your head, and you still walk around? Death is gone. Right? Now this is also spoken of in Joel 2, 1 through 11. A terrible, terrible time for unbelievers. Will they repent? No. They still don't repent. Then in Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, the sixth trumpet sounds. And we have four angels being released that, according to the word of God, are being held even now for a specific point in time when they will be released. And they will command an angelic host of 200 million demons. That they're going to go forth to inflict death on 1/3 of the people of the earth. So, now we have a fourth have already died, 2 billion, right? So 6 billion are left. Now 1/3 are going to be killed. So that is another 2 billion, correct? So now instead of 8 billion people, you have 4 billion people. That's all. Have lots of room. Now some have suggested it could be 200 million Chinese. No, no, no. The Bible says they're clearly demonic in origin. clearly. And they come from the bottomless pit, so they're not human. They're not human. And by this time in history, the Earth's population that will have died has been cut in half. And yet, what does it say? They do not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship demons and the idols. My. And then we have the seventh trumpet sounding. Now, I think that this is where the rapture takes place, right, Peter? The seventh trumpet for the mid-tribulationists? No? Where does it take place, the mid-tribulationists? Huh? Where do they say it takes place?
Way before that. The sixth seal.
Between the sixth and seventh seal?
Fifth, sixth in there.
Oh, between the fifth and sixth.
Distinguish between the tribulation and the wrath of God. So.
Yeah, I know. I know, except the Old Testament makes no difference between the two. But let's forget the Old Testament. We don't want to use that because this is New Testament. Okay, so then we have the bowl judgments next, right? My soul and body.
Huh?
Yeah. Yep. What's that?
That's not a judgment.
Yeah.
Seven key figures. Chapter 12-13.
Yeah. But we're dealing with the judgments. We want to deal with what's happening to the earth and what's happening to the population. Those that would like to go through this, this is what they're going to have to put up with. These judgments, when you compare them to the seals and the trumpets, appear to be more intense and severe. We believe these are the judgments of the Great Tribulation period. The midpoint has happened. The Antichrist has gone into the temple. He's desecrated the temple. The Jews have rejected him. And then it's not just the wrath of God being poured out, but now it's the wrath of the Antichrist also being poured out on the Jews. The tribulation period is not for the Gentiles. Tribulation period is reserved and designed for the Jews. It's God dealing with them so that they accept Jesus as Messiah, proving to them who he is. Okay?
Now, who were they worshiping? They didn't repent of what?
Worshiping the Antichrist. Remember, he sets up with the false prophet idols, and people worship him.
Yeah, devils, idols of gold, silver, and bronze,
yep.
Stone, and wood.
Yeah.
Well, the devil wanted the Jews to worship him.
Yes. Wasn't that his original intent? He wanted to be God so that everybody would worship him. Okay? And so he doesn't change. He doesn't change his M.O. He's the same.
Okay, so it's God. God is pouring out these judgments.
Yes. Okay. Now, these are coming from God. And that's very obvious. That is very obvious. Because where does the star come from that poisons the waters? From heaven. Where does the star come from that turns the ocean into blood? One third of it. From heaven. Just like the judgments on the Egyptians for not letting the Israelis leave, they came from God.
Yes.
Now, they were natural phenomena in many cases, but it was God who caused them. And this is God. Remember the purpose of the tribulation period. It's to bring mankind to the place where they accept Jesus as Savior. Whether you call him Messiah, whether you call him Savior. Okay? This is as bad as it's going to get. And so he bookends it. He bookends it with the age of grace that we're in now and the millennial reign of Christ. a little more than 1,000 years of grace where things are fantastic. In fact, things are so good that many people say God isn't a God of judgment. He's a God of mercy and a God of grace. And then he has 7 years in the middle, and then he bookends it with the millennial reign of Christ. And still, people that survive the tribulation period and go through the millennial still are deceived by Satan into rejecting Christ. See? Now, his anger is full. It's ready to be poured out and prepare the way for the second coming of Christ. So, the angels who administer these judgments are pictured as turning bowls upside down. That's why they're called the bowl judgments. They're turning bowls upside down. Now, what they look like, I have no idea. But he describes them as a bowl. Nothing's held back. Each judgment is specifically directed at an object of God's wrath. The first bowl, in Revelation 16, 1 and 2, is poured out on the earth, and it's aimed specifically at whom? Those that have taken the mark of the beast. Okay, in some ways it's a fulfillment of Revelation chapter 14, 9 through 11. It's affliction of grievous, malignant sores on the human body. They're called boils. Anybody had a boil here? Oh, they're nasty. I've had 3. They are not fun. Not fun at all. They have to be lanced. The 2 in South America got lanced without anesthesia. The 1 here got lanced with anesthesia. I prefer anesthesia. Yeah. So these tend to be, they're either boils or they're either gangrenous sores. But they are painful. Very, very painful. That's the first bowl. Okay? Now the second bowl is found in Revelation 16 verse 3. And that's poured out on the sea, and it turns the water to blood so that every living creature in the ocean dies. How much will mahi-mahi cost in the restaurant?
You won't be able to get any.
Somebody might have some frozen that they'll serve you for maybe a couple $1,000s. Okay? So now we've got nothing living in the ocean. I really feel sorry for people that make their living off the ocean, which is a substantial millions upon millions upon millions of people right now. Their living will be gone. Then the second bowl is in Revelation chapter 16, verse 3. And that's the second bowl is the blood. The third bowl is poured out on the rivers and the springs of water, and all remaining water is turned to blood. Now, I personally think that's God avenging the death of the martyrs and the shedding blood of the martyrs and those that have been killed that are under the altar crying out for their blood to be avenged. So no fresh water to drink. None. The fourth bowl is poured out on the sun. And the sun goes and starts scorching people with fire. You think global warming is bad now? Hang on. This is going to be terrible. How did they respond? They blasphemed. They blasphemed the name of the Lord. And they did not repent and give him glory. It scorches people with fire. Now, I don't know how badly you've been burned, but we decided in our infinite wisdom when we were teenagers, we went to Santa Marta and we decided we would rent a paddle boat. And we would go to an island that's about 3 kilometers out in the bay. So we paddled all the way out and paddled all the way back. We were on the water from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. No sunscreen at all. God's my witness, I was burned between my fingers, between my toes. My brother and sister got sunstroke, got real sick. I didn't. But we were, let me tell you, we did not sleep for several nights, literally. Felt like we were on fire. And this is going to be terrible because this is going to be worse than that. The fifth bowl, Revelation chapter 16, verses 10 and 11. The fifth bowl, what is that? Darkness. His whole domain, the Antichrist domain, is going to suffer a blackout. Kind of like what they experienced in Egypt, when darkness was one of the plagues. Now, this is not going to be normal darkness. The Bible says this is going to be so bad that people are going to chew on their tongues. Has anybody bitten your tongue ever? Isn't it fun? Oh, it's just wonderful. And the Bible says they're going to gnaw, chew on their tongues for the pain. And once again, they blaspheme God. Then the sixth bowl is poured out, Revelation 16. And that's on the great river Euphrates. And it dries up. Now, the reason it dries up is why?
It says the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
Yes.
For as a highway.
It makes a highway. So that people can come down and attack whom?
Israel.
See? It's God. I love it. I love it. God baiting the Antichrist and drawing him into his trap. Come on. You can beat Israel. I can hear God whispering in his ear right now. You can beat Israel. Go ahead. Come on down. You might want to read Joel chapter 3 when you get a chance, and Psalm 2. When you get a chance. And then the seventh bowl, which is the last bowl, the seventh bowl, gets poured out. And this is poured out on the air. You have flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder, a great earthquake. In fact, it's the greatest earthquake the world has ever seen. And we've seen some real bad ones, have we not? Just read history. Real bad ones. And this is in conjunction with the return of Christ in Joel chapter 3 and Zechariah 14 and Matthew 24. Worldwide earthquake will cause Jerusalem to be split in 3 sections. Okay? And that's going to prepare a way for the millennial changes after the second coming. God's getting everything ready. Babylon will be suddenly destroyed, the Bible says. Global judgment. 100-pound hailstones. Anybody, have you seen the results of hailstones? We had one in Laredo, hailstones that came down, and I went by a dealership of cars, and the cars were all ruined. And those were hailstones. The biggest were like golf balls. These are 100-pound hailstones. What's going to happen if it falls on your head? They'll be going around singing, "Raindrops keep falling on my head." Right? God is going to judge the religious system that the Antichrist has set up, that controlled the world until the midpoint. The harlot, which is a small false religious system, is going to be destroyed with the kings of the earth in chapter 17. Then the false prophet appears and during the last half of the tribulation gets people to worship the Antichrist, which is worshiping Satan. And then he gets thrown at the end of it all, when the Antichrist is destroyed with the coming of the Lord of Jesus himself, with the brightness of his coming, and he's thrown into the lake of fire. Now, I have no idea. I have no idea how people can think that the first 3.5 years are anything they want to go through. This blows my mind. It's not going to be nice. And the last 3.5 years are going to be worse. Are going to be worse. But I got a little secret. I believe God's going to be merciful. And those that think that the rapture is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation are going to be pleasantly surprised. Pleasantly surprised. Any questions?
You passed over the frogs.
Huh?
The frogs.
Yes. The frogs? Why do you want to know about the frogs?
In
chapter...
I rescued a frog today.
You rescued a frog today?
A spring peeper.
Huh?
A spring peeper. He was in the room.
Spring peeper. What's a spring peeper? I don't know.
It's a brown frog and it's got a stripe down the side. They peep.
They peep, peep, peep? We have frogs in Latin America that make a wonderful sound. They'll keep you awake all night long. Don't they, Leah? Yeah, what are they called? There's a special name for them. Huh? Yeah, cokies. Yeah. Oh, they're wonderful. Keep you awake all night long. And they're worse than bullfrogs. Okay, the frogs are where? In what chapter, Joel? Huh?
Yeah, 16, I think it was like verse 13.
Yes. Three unclean spirits like frogs. They weren't frogs. They're unclean spirits like frogs. Came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Three of them.
Just nine.
Yeah? Huh?
So we got nine frogs.
No. We've got three frogs coming out of those three people's mouths. Okay? For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So what is their purpose? Their purpose is to get people to come down against Israel. So that what happens? They come down against Israel, what's going to happen? God's going to come on the scene and going to destroy the Antichrist. Because God's not going to allow Israel to be defeated. No way. Not going to happen. Not in this life and not in the next.
Okay, the next verse.
Yes.
Seems out of place. It says in red, so it must be Jesus. It says, behold, I come as a thief, lest he see that watches sit and keep up his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame.
Yeah.
So is there...
People are getting saved during this period.
So there still is hope for people.
Oh, yeah. You have the 144,000 preaching. Yeah. People are getting saved. Yeah. So they get saved and of course, then they get killed. And then they get out of here.
But this says they gathered them together in a place called Armageddon.
Yeah.
Who's he gathering?
He's gathering all those that have rejected Christ. Because that's going to be their final judgment.
So he's gathering...
He's gathering the armies of the world. The armies of the Antichrist. Yeah. 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 And then you're going to have that battle... And that battle really is not going to take place. It's not going to last very long because the Lord's going to come down and destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming and free Israel. Because remember, Israel has accepted Jesus as Messiah at the midway point before the Great Tribulation starts. Because at the beginning, when the first seal is broken and the Antichrist begins to establish his power, that he's going to sign a treaty with Israel. And Israel's going to think he's the Messiah because he brings peace. What did they want when Jesus came? What was their problem when Jesus came?
Looking for
this
kingdom.
Huh?
Liberation from
Rome. Yeah, he did not set them free from Rome. And that was their whole problem. Even the disciples had a problem. Because remember what James and John did? They send their mother to Jesus. What was she asking for? Remember?
For her boys to be.
What's that?
For her boys to be.
Yeah, but when? When you come in your kingdom. When you set up your kingdom. I want, you can, yeah, she was so kind to the Lord. You get to pick which one is on the right and which one is on the left, because the right's much better than the left in the Old Testament. But she doesn't ask that John be on the right or James be on the right. She just says, one of them on the right, one of them on the left, when you come in your kingdom, when you set up your kingdom. Everybody thought he was going to set up a kingdom. What did they say on Palm Sunday?
They thought he'd come in with a white horse.
No, what did they say?
Oh, what did they say? Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he. And they thought he was going to set up David's kingdom. Remember what the prophecy said in the Old Testament. Isaiah said, the scepter will be on him. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So they believed that. They just didn't believe that Jesus was the one. They did at the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, they believed he was the one. But then he goes and dies. So that ruins everything. Because in their mind, nobody could defeat him. And actually, nobody could defeat him. He wasn't killed. He laid down his life. They didn't take it. He gave it. But for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Okay? Other questions? Amen. Well, we'll go to the Lord in prayer.